morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I hope that you had a good holy week after Easter. I hope that you got to experience the joy of the resurrection more than just an hour and 10 minutes on Sunday morning last week. But I hope that it's a reality that's set into your life and give you something to live for a little bit more than maybe you had the week before. Resurrection is more than just something that we smile through. As Marissa noted, I know that we've had some news from a variety of people this week about cancer and family, loved ones that are hurting, people that we care about that are going through harder times than they want to admit. And sometimes we're going through harder times than we want to admit. Well, the resurrection is not merely about bunnies and about candy, though I like candy. It is about hope. It is about life. It is about something that is stronger than even death. So my hope and my prayer for you this week is that even as you go through the struggles, you might not think it's even much, but I hope you know that the resurrection is real and that Jesus is still offering life today, just as he did in a garden 2,000 years ago. As Marissa highlighted, we did have some severe storms that came through our area this last week. I was actually driving about 25 miles due south of them along 80 and then along 71 trying to outrun the tornadoes to get back from visiting my mom in nursing home in Iowa. And so I was racing back through that, and then we turned on WGN and listened to Tom Skilling and saw all the devastation in Fairdale, outside of Rochelle, and other communities that were impacted by that. We wanted to give you an opportunity to do something about that this morning. Every week at our church, we collect an offering, and every week, between 10 and 20% of that offering goes right out the door to help people in need. We support local ministries, we support missionaries, we support people that are alleviating human need and sharing the good news with people in their own way. So we are a church that has given and given generously from the start. Well, this morning, 20% of everything that we bring in is going to go to those that have been impacted by the tornado out there in Fairdale. So this morning, what I want to encourage you to do is to not only give, but to give more, to give above and beyond, to be generous to people who've had their homes leveled, to people that have had loved ones that have died, people that are just starting over after thought they had just been starting over a month ago. So I want to encourage you and lay upon you a call to give and to give generously and to think of it this way. If this had happened to me, what would I be praying that someone would do for me? This is the clearest way that we can live the golden rule of doing unto others as we want them to do unto us. So during our offering time this morning, before we receive communion, I hope that you will be generous and give, and we are going to write 20% right off the top to those that are impacted by the tornado. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, the sun is shining, and spring is seemingly here, and we see and hear and breathe life all around us. But, Lord, even in this spring season, even with signs of life all around us, we know that hurt and sickness and sin and darkness creep in the most unexpected ways. And it's a great reminder, God, that we are totally dependent upon you, that we couldn't imagine life without you. Whether it's surviving a tornado or dealing with cancer or simply raising a teenager, we can't imagine walking through this without your strength, without your presence, and without your love. Oh Lord, remind us of our need for you today and lay upon us a burden to share that need with others. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's something that happens all the time, so he wasn't sure why he made a big deal about it. But Steve was sitting in a bar in New York, and he walked up to pay his tab, and he came back to his table, and his phone was gone. His phone had been stolen. Now, he didn't think a whole lot of it because iPhones get stolen all the time, as I've already heard this morning from someone. iPhones get stolen all the time, and he just kind of wrote it off and went down to the Apple store and got a new phone a day or two later. But then something strange happened, and if you've seen this online, I hope that you will read it or read it again. Pictures started showing up on his new phone that were not his. For those of you that have an Apple product, you know that all of the phones that you have in your family are all kind of looped together. So every picture on my phone is on Marissa's phone, is on Reese's phone. It's a great way to keep up with your teenagers. And everything that's on my iPad all kind of flows into one thing they call the stream. And he started to see pictures from China on his stream. And he went down and he made a few calls and he got Apple to do a few things. And what they realized was the phone that had been stolen from New York was part of a whole scam to take stolen iPhones and send them to Hong Kong and then sell them on the streets of China for people that were desperate for iPhones. The irony is they make them in China and you can't buy them in China. So a man walked up and laid down $50 and got a stolen iPhone from a guy from New York that he'd never met. Maybe he was aware it was stolen, maybe it wasn't. And so the guy that lived in New York said, you know what, I want to do something about this. And so he found a picture of the man, they take selfies in China, of this man who took a picture of himself in front of these oranges and he posted on the Chinese equivalent of Facebook, who is this man and why are his pictures showing up in my phone? Well, just like the red dress, the blue dress, the yellow dress that kind of exploded on Facebook in the United States a couple weeks ago, this exploded in China, which has a few more people than the United States. And the 1.5 billion people all said, oh, I know that guy. And very quickly, this man had brought to his attention the exact name and location and cell phone number of the person that was using his phone. Being a journalist, he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go get my phone. And so he cashed in some rewards miles and he put some stuff together and he got on a plane and made his way to Beijing in order to hop his way down to the Chinese equivalent of Oswego. Little did he know, in the weeks that transpired from when this picture went up to when he landed, he became a Gangnam-style sensation in China. To where when he landed, hundreds of reporters showed up in order to get pictures with this man right here, who is a journalist in New York, so that he could meet this person that stole his iPhone. If you don't believe that his image blew up across the nation of China, here is a taxi cab with a picture of the two of them right there on the side. Look at that! With the oranges at the bottom. Do you realize how powerful something has to be a cultural force and a meme in a country of 1.5 billion people? It's ironic that the one on the right basically stole his phone, and the one on the left had his phone stolen. And I don't know about you, but if my phone gets stolen, you know what I'm not doing? I'm not flying to China to get it. I'm just going to let that one go. Just going to let that one go. Well, here's the irony. Something seemingly insignificant was pursued. And what came of that was a relationship. If you follow me on Facebook, I got the whole story posted there. And it is 9 days of the two of them being followed around China, documented of how their close friendship began to grow over just 9 days together. And they were brought together over a stolen phone. Here they are on the last day that they're together, in front of the picture with the oranges. Now that is a fun story to tell. It is a great story to read, and I cut out a whole bunch of cool stuff from it. But it does bring us to a truth that is true in this story, it is true in human history, and it is definitely true of the scriptures. When you pursue something seemingly insignificant, do not be surprised when a relationship pops up. When you pursue something that is seemingly insignificant, do not be surprised when a relationship begins to bubble up in that situation. We see the story all over the scriptures, but there's no story that we see it more in than the story of Jonah. Now, you hear the story of Jonah, you're like, oh yeah, that's Jaws. I know that one. I remember that. There is so much truth that is laced in Jonah that is more than what you might have learned in Vacation Bible School. So what I want to look at the next couple weeks, beginning today, is what happens when God gets serious about pursuing people and pursuing things that are seemingly insignificant, people that are seemingly insignificant, about the power of a relationship that can come from a God that will not only travel to China, but travel from heaven and earth to pursue us and to know us. We see a story that begins in Jonah long before the fish shows up. We get the story that unfolds like this. The very beginning it says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." Long before we get a fish, long before we get a boat that's sinking, long before you get 3 days in the belly of the fish or spit up on the dry land, you get a God who reaches down and grabs one person by the collar and says, "I've got a job for you. I have something for you. I want to reach out to you." And it is not directly for Jonah's benefit. Now, when I think about God reaching out to me, I like to think of God saying, "Jeff, I'm going to take all your burdens away. Jeff, I'm going to teach you how to win every argument at home. Jeff, I've got these numbers." Now, I'm not condoning the lottery, but that's what I want to hear when I hear that God has something to say to me. But when God reaches out to Jonah, God has something very particular in mind. And he says, "I want you to go to this great city of Nineveh." Now, going to Nineveh is not like going to Naperville. It's just not down the road. It is a trip. It is a journey. You've got to load up on a ship, and you've got to go through treacherous waters to get there. "I want you to go and preach against Nineveh, because its wickedness has come up before me. These people are tripping over themselves. They are harming themselves. They are not living the life that I created them for. I want you, Jonah, to go to these people that I care about very much and show them that there is another way." You see, God pursued Jonah so that Jonah could pursue others. God reached out to Jonah so that Jonah could reach out to others. Nowhere in this story is the end of God's work right there with the person that God reaches out to. It comes to us so it can pass through us. I didn't mean for that to rhyme, but it's an easy way to remember it. God's love, God's word, God's good news in Jesus Christ, it comes to us so that we can share that with another person. Nowhere in this story does God say, "Jonah, it's all about you." In fact, he says, "I'm going to make you go through all of this because I want you to share with these people what life could be like with me." I know many of you were here last week on Easter. Just be honest. Were you shocked at how many people were here last week? I was too. So I, you know, the sermon's never bad when the crowd is really big, I've noticed. You know, it's like, I have this feeling of just gratitude and appreciation to God for the church that he built. We had over 260 people here last week. I just saw all of these relationships bubbling up, all these people that I knew had not been in church for a long time, if you think back just 2 or 3 years. And it was just this moment where you kind of want to step back and say, "We've arrived." There's a danger in that. There's a danger in that. It's a danger that Jonah warns us about. I know, because I'm guilty of it. It is so easy to become a community where we think that God directs everything for the benefit of me. Me, in my chair, in my song, in my groups, in the people that I know. And sometimes if we can kind of cluster up and say, "This is great, and it's all for us." And we, you know, it's not like I look down my nose at new people, but I want to enjoy what God has given me. Just like Jonah had God's word come to him so that he could share it with someone else, we as a church must always have on the forefront of our mind that God's love, the gospel of Christ, It has all come to us for the sole purpose of receiving it and then passing it on. I said this in one of our vision huddles back in the fall. Anybody go to one of those groups where we gathered up if you were part of the church back in the fall? And somebody told a story that really touched me. Talked about how they had a rough church experience before, came to our church for the first time by themselves with their kids, and just had this sense of fear of whether they would be received or not. And just there in that little gym at Churchill Elementary, they felt this warmth, felt this acceptance, felt this embrace, and it had been home, and it's still been home to this day. And I remember as I kind of teared up hearing that story, you waited for that moment of God there that just kind of settles over the room. And I remember thinking to myself and finally saying out loud, we're really only 3 or 4 bad weeks away from not being able to live that story. If we put ourselves, our church, our soul on check and just say, we're going to go on cruise control, my heart would break for somebody that walked in and said, I need love, I need Christ, I need embrace. And we're like, man, I'm over here. If you want to come over to my group, that's fine. But this is what Jesus offers the world. And that this is what Jesus has offered the church. That we can be people who hear and receive the love and the embrace and the welcome of God, and that we live and share with this burden that it cannot stay with us, but it has to be shared with someone else, because we never know what somebody is experiencing when they walk in the door. What Jonah teaches us is what we must never forget. God comes to us so that we can let others know about God. My brother-in-law is a plumber, and let's just say he's had some interesting stories of house calls. He said his favorite thing to do is overcharge people on Sunday nights, because he says people will lay down serious money to get that bathroom working on a Sunday night. Well, I asked him one time as he was telling me some stories, I'm like, what's the biggest mess, for a lack of a better term, that you have ever had to deal with? I said, oh, couple that lived out in the country of rural Iowa. They thought their septic tank was working. Any story that begins, I thought my septic tank was working, just pay attention and hold your nose while you do it. So they thought it was working, and then they went on vacation for 2 weeks. And everything that was supposed to be going out into the yard came back into the basement about 10 minutes after they left. And there it sat up to your knees for 2 weeks. He said he walked in and he wanted to throw up. And he's not the kind of guy that's going to respond that way. And so he went down there and he did his business with the business and got it all taken care of and got the stuff where it needed to be, and I'm sure he overcharged them, as I would too. And he said, you know what smells? I'm like, I believe you, Jason, but go ahead and tell me. I think I know what it is. He said, something that's supposed to keep moving that just kind of gets clogged up in the wrong spot. I was like, you just gave me a sermon, buddy. I know this because I've been a part of it. I know this because I've led churches that have done it. I know this because I am guilty of it. How do we know that a church has lost its way? When everything that's supposed to flow out into the community just kind of pools up. And we can't smell it. But somebody that walks in will notice that the welcome that might have been here once is no longer here. And so my hope and my burden and my prayer for you is that all that we receive when we are together, the encouragement, the support, the worship of God and the wisdom of God's word, would come to us and let it flow out into our job, into our neighborhood, into the lives of hurting people that need a relationship with God. Because God has not given us this great gift of good news so that we can hoard it, that we can keep it, that we can pool it up for just us and no more. God says, I have shared this with you so that you can go to Nineveh, that you can go to your neighbors, that you can go to your office park, that you can go to the people that you care about and live and share and show the love of God with them. Jesus illustrates what it means to follow him in some of the very first words that he says to his disciples. In Matthew 4, this is Jesus approaching the very first disciples. This is the first thing that he says is what it means to follow him. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers. That's not two brothers in the page. These are two other brothers. Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to be fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Now that doesn't sound like a very good advertising plan to me. I want you to come follow me so that you can go and share me with other people. Now I know you just met me. Now I know that you've got a lot of stuff you need to deal with in your life, but I want you to get on board with me so that you can get on board with my mission. You see, to follow Jesus is to share Jesus. To follow Jesus is to go to the Ninevehs and the neighbors and the people around us who seemingly think that everything's working fine, but to lift up what life can be like in Christ. Nowhere in the Gospels do you see Jesus saying, come follow me, period. Come follow me and we'll stop. Come follow me and I'll take away all of your problems. No, Jesus says, come follow me so you can join me in my mission of bringing the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. You see, you have never met another person who is not of eternal worth to God. Now, you might not agree with that at work tomorrow morning, but you have never met or locked eyes or interacted with another person that is not of great value to God. Every single one of us matter to God. And because people matter to God, they should matter to us as well. People that we pray for, people that annoy us, people that think they're better than us, people that think a little of themselves, people that are different, people of another faith, people of no faith at all. There's no one we've ever met that God does not love and God does not care about. I know Chris has used this phrase many times, so I'm going to steal it. We have been rescued to be rescuers. We have been served to be servants. We have been pursued to pursue others. And we have been resurrected so that we can show others the resurrection of Christ. The story was told right away on the news during the tornadoes of the restaurant that was destroyed in Fairdale. Did you hear the story about the restaurant that was destroyed? Just this little local place you probably went and got biscuits and gravy, chicken fried steak. Probably not the place to eat if you want to be healthy, to be really honest. 15 people were in there when the tornado came through town and leveled that restaurant. 15 people were there. You know how many of them survived? 15. Every single person that was inside of that little restaurant, they got floored. I mean, make no mistake, this place got floored. Every one of them walked out safe, and every one of them walked out alive. You know, you probably had two feelings the next morning if you were in that restaurant. I've never been in a tornado where the house I was in got flattened. But I bet this is what they thought. I bet they were grateful. If that doesn't give you gratitude and gratefulness, I don't know what would. I bet they had a real sense of gratitude, thankful to God, thankful for protections, thankful for safety. I bet they were grateful. And I bet they also had this sense of, I'm going to make the most of the time I have left. I am going to make the most of the time that I have left. I bet all of us have had smaller scale, or maybe that scale pivot in our life where we say, no more playing games. I'm gonna live a life of significance. I'm gonna take up the life that God has asked me to take up. But what I hope that you have is what they felt that next morning. I hope that when you look at the life that you have, even with its problems, even with its struggles, I hope that you feel a sense of gratitude to God for all that He has given you. I hope you have a sense of gratitude to God for all that He has given you. And I hope that you have a willingness and a passion to make the most of the time that you have left. But if you hear me share anything today, I hope you hear me share this. The most significant thing that we can offer another person is a vital relationship with God. The most significant thing that we can offer to another person is a life-giving, joy-filled, contagious relationship with God. We're going to talk about how to do that over the next couple of weeks. And we're going to talk about how it's not that you show up at somebody's door on Sunday morning at 8 o'clock and ask them why they're going to burn in hell for not being in church. We're not going to say, why do you go to that church that meets at Trauber? They're clearly a bunch of heretics. Don't go there. That's not what we're going to talk about. We're not talking about a megaphone at the corner of 34 and Douglas and how you need to scream at all the Catholics about how evil they are. None of that. Just take all of that and kind of diffuse it. If you've done that, I just want to break the news to you. That ain't how we roll around here. But neither is it passive. And neither does it happen by accident. What we'll dig into the next couple weeks are actually examples from the life of Jonah. Of how he followed God, even reluctantly. I mean, like, we can be reluctant with God, but we've never been thrown off of a ship for it. Jonah was reluctant. But he finally found the courage to follow God and to share the good news of God with other people. Now this morning, I just want to leave you with a simple question. Do you believe that you have been blessed to be a blessing? Do you believe that you have been blessed to be a blessing? If you can start to conjure up the courage and the faith to believe that, you are on the right track of following what Jonah has laid out for us, what God began with Jonah, which is, I'm going to reach out to you, I'm going to love you, I'm going to be with you, but I've got something significant I would love for you to share with other people. There's a reason the first statement that we share in worship every week is that we're here to share Jesus. What that means is that we believe we have been blessed to be a blessing. And I believe that life is too short and shame is too prevalent and that the church has been run down often by its own doing for too long and that joy is too contagious for us to not believe that we have been blessed to be a blessing. That's my hope for us today. Would you pray with me, please? Oh Lord, we hear words from Jonah that are challenging. Make no mistake about it. But we do find the faith to believe that you have pursued us. And in that, a significant relationship has been formed. And that you have done this so that we can share that with others. We know that every single one of us have seen terrible examples of what it means to share our faith or pursue other people. But that does not get us off the hook of finding genuine, authentic, open-hearted ways to share the good news of God with others. Oh Lord, we do thank you that you have reached out and rescued us, and we are taking up the call this morning to reach out and pursue others in a way that is genuine, in a way that shows love, in a way that's authentic. We have been blessed to be a blessing, God. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a moment here, we are going to collect our offering and then receive communion.